Thank you, and good morning, and welcome once again to this radio program. We're grateful today that you're listening, and it is our prayer that you'll receive a blessing from hearing the Word of God today. We do want to take this opportunity to invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church off Forest Hill, Missouri. We have our Sunday school beginning this morning at 10 o'clock with regular classes for all ages, and then at 11 o'clock this morning, our regular preaching service. This afternoon service begins at 4 o'clock, and we invite you to come to this service. And then Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we have our midweek Bible study. And so we invite you to come to these services and trust that you will, that you'll receive a blessing from being in the house of God. The past two Sunday mornings, we've been speaking about how that God's children need to take warning lest they fall into the trap that Satan has laid for us. And you remember that Satan desires for God's children to be led into wickedness. Not just all at once, but rather that he would lead them a day at a time away from the service of God and into exceeding wickedness. And so we know that because of these things that we've talked about, that we're coming to the end of the world. We know that the world is going to come to an end, and I don't want to be like one of those fellows that the cartoonist draw pictures of, and they're having this guy, you know, he's got his long beard, and he's wearing his nice white robe, and he's carrying the sign, you know, saying the world's going to end today. Well, I don't want to be that way, but I know that what the Bible says is absolutely true. And I don't want to be a prophet of doom. And yet the Bible does declare to us that God has made this world. He made it upright. The Bible says that man has sought out many inventions. And God is going to hold people accountable for the things that they do and the things that they don't do in this world. He's going to hold them accountable according to his own word. And so we're living in a day when we need to study the Word of God. And we need to know it for ourselves, not that someone else would know it for us, but rather that we would know about it. And so I'd like to this morning turn to the book of Job, chapter 26. Job, chapter 26, and one of the greatest studies that a man can ever be involved in is the study of God himself. It's amazing that of all the subjects in this world, and of all the books that have been written, there have probably been more books written about God and about who he is than any other subject. Because he is God, and there is no end to the things that he is. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, "Nothing will so enlarge the intellect, nothing so magnify the whole soul of man as a devout, earnest, continued investigation of the great subject of the deity. The most excellent study for expanding the soul is the science of Christ and him crucified and the knowledge of the Godhead in the glorious Trinity." And so the study of God is indeed a large and a great subject. Look with me in Job 26, and the Bible says here concerning a verse in verse 5. He says, "Dead things are formed from under the waters and the inhabitants thereof. Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. He holdeth back the face of his throne, and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bounds unto the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent." Now we've read Job 26 verses 5 through 13, and notice in this place all the things that God has done. The Bible says that hell is naked before God, that God sees every kind of destruction that there is. The Bible says that he has stretched out the north over the empty place. And by the way, that's where God's living today, is in the northern parts of the sky, according to what the Bible says. The Bible says that he has hung the earth upon nothing. And how amazing it was some years ago when the astronauts went out into space and lo and behold, they looked back and the earth was hung upon nothing, just like God said it was. The Bible said in verse 8 that God stretcheth out he takes the waters and he binds them up in clouds, and the cloud holds the water. And it's amazing to me that we can get a thunderstorm and get much water, 4 or 5 inches of water out of clouds that are in the sky. It just doesn't seem possible, but God has made it so. The Bible says that he has compassed the waters with bounds. In other words, God keeps the oceans in their place. God keeps the rivers in their places. God does all of these things. The Bible said he divideth the sea with his power, and by his spirit he garnished the heavens. God has made the earth beautiful, and God looks at all the destruction of it. And then the last verse of Job 26, the Bible said this: lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? And so when we stop to think about God, when we contemplate God, who is he? And as much as we might study about God, and as much as we might learn about him, we have only touched the surface of who God really is. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 7, that we shall spend an eternity learning about God and his grace toward us. I believe today that a very good study of the Christian is to study the Godhead, study who God is, and learn who God is. The highest science that there is, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy, which can change the mind of God, the mind of man, is the study of who God is. It's amazing that mankind can study a particular subject, and they can come away from that subject after they have mulled it all over and written it all down and hashed it all over, and they can say, I am wise. But when these same people began the study of God, the study of the Godhead, when they delve into that master science and they find that they cannot reach the depths nor the height of God, they turn away and say, I can understand this. I'm up against something that's lots bigger than I am. And this is the way that our God is. Who is God? God is Jehovah. God is the eternally existing one. What does God look like? The Bible said he's a spirit. The Bible says that God is infinite. That is, God does not have a beginning. He does not have an end. God is everywhere, all at once, doing everything and knowing everything that there is to know. The Bible said these things that we know about God are just very little parts. It's amazing to me to think about God and to think about praying at the same time. Because when we pray to God, we are very personal in our prayers. We are one person that is praying to the Almighty God, the Creator of this entire universe in which we live. And not only are we praying, but in some other city, or perhaps in the city where we are, someone else is also praying, and it very possible that someone else is praying also. And so it's very possible that at any one time there could be thousands, hundreds of millions of people praying at the same time. And God in heaven hears every one of those prayers and doesn't get any of them mixed up and gives all the right answers. that they all need to know. Who is God? God is the majestic being. God is the Spirit. God is simply Jehovah God, the absolute creator. We have a limited knowledge of God. There was the time in the book of Exodus when Moses desired to see God, to be and to know all about God. And he said, God, I want to look at you. And God said to Moses, that's just not possible. But here's what I'll do for you, Moses. I'm going to put you down in the cleft. That is a little indentation in the rock. The little separation between the rocks. I'm going to put you down in there, and I'm going to put my hand on top of that cleft. So you can't see me front ways. You can't see the front side of me. And then I'm going to walk by you, and I'm going to let you see the hind parts of me. And that's what he did. Because God is so great. God is so glorious in all of his majesty that man could not stand to look upon him at all. There was a time when Moses was up on Mount Sinai there for 40 days and 40 nights. When he came down, the Bible said that his face was shining with the glories of God. And he had to cover his head because the people couldn't stand to look upon him because Moses had been with God. There was the time when Samson's parents saw the angels of God and they said, oh, woe is us, for we shall die, because we've simply seen an angel of God. And so who is God? In all of his majesty and all of his glory, God is infinite. We cannot find out the end from the beginning. God never did have a beginning. This is an amazing thing, because God always was. And Jesus was with God in eternity. Jesus is with God now in eternity. And Jesus never did have a beginning. The Holy Spirit never did have a beginning. They were always three and always one, and always was, with never a time when they started. As a matter of fact, it was God that made time simply for the measurement of mankind, for the measurement of our life. God is without beginning, and God is without end. God is everywhere all at once. God knows everything that there ever was or is to know. There is nothing that God does not understand everything about. God has absolute total power. You talk about someone with strength. The Bible talks about the finger of God when he created the frogs in the land of Egypt. The Bible talks about when God created this world, that all he had to do was speak and bring it into existence. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. You talk about power. God is absolutely full of power. God is full of wisdom. He is all there is, and he's able to give to us that lack. God is full of love. God, the Bible said, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is God. God is total love. And we don't want to forget this one. God is full of wrath upon those unbelievers and upon those that are rebellious against him and against his word and against his will. God is full of wrath, and his judgment day is coming upon those people that will not earnestly turn and believe in him. God is a holy God without any sin or any possibility of any sin whatsoever. God is God. In this short message this morning, we've tried to bring to you a few of the very things that we can understand about who God is. But the Bible said in Job 26 and verse 7, lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand? Contemplate God, and you'll find your life enriched by that study. We see that our time has slipped away from us again today. We invite you again to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church of Forestdale, Missouri, and listen again next Sunday morning for another radio program, the Lord willing. Thank you now for listening.